950 Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Doug Padgett sitting in again today. Drive time here in the Twin Cities, 4 o'clock. And if you can make yourself, get yourself around the Twin Cities with road closures and road work happening everywhere, good for you. A lot of construction happening in our world, a lot of construction happening in the state of Minnesota. Sometimes you got to shut down a highway, rip it all apart to put in something new. I feel that way about the way our country is going right now. There's the need to uproot, tear out some old asphalt. The roads we're trying to travel on with the Trump administration and the Republican Party across the country, you just can't drive on it anymore. Doesn't make any sense. You can't get from here to there. You can't get to the place you want to go. This sense of a promised land is slipping further and further from the imagination for a lot of people. If you've been listening to radio at all today, watching the news, you know that people are really are up in arms about all of the issues going on with separating families at the border. A lot of people are talking about it. I have a 10-minute piece that I put together for a video, actually. I put together a video and put this out on the internet. You're welcome to watch it. You can find me on Facebook, Doug Padgett. You can go to DougPadgett.com. You'll find it all there. But it's a 10-minute takedown of Attorney General Jeff Sessions' argument to support the Trump administration's separating of families on both religious and legal grounds. You might remember that last week on the 14th, Attorney General Sessions tried to make an argument that the Bible is on the Trump administration's side. And that really struck me. I'm a professional theologian. I'm a public religious person. I pastor a church. So when the Attorney General decided he wanted to start talking about religion as justification, well, that's right in my wheelhouse. I care about politics. I care about religion. I care about how the two of them come together in the common good. And that's something that really got me motivated and thinking about it. So, Brett, we're going to run that audio. It's going to run about 10 minutes. I'll make a comment or so at the end, and then we'll talk about it after the break. So here it is, my point-by-point takedown of Attorney General Jeff Sessions' argument supporting the Trump administration policies. Here you go.
On June 14th, 2018, Attorney General Jeff Sessions chose to defend the Trump administration's practice of separating families on both legal and religious grounds. Like many of you, I was sickened by the sight of children being taken from their parents, and I was frightened by the justification that the Trump administration used for this practice. Attorney General Jeff Sessions, in his justification, was wrong about the law, he was wrong about the Bible, he was wrong about God, and here's why it matters. I'd like to respond to Attorney General Jeff Sessions one comment at a time. Here he is.
I thought I'd take a little bit of digression here to discuss some concerns raised by our church friends about separation of families.
I appreciate the fact that it was the religious community that was putting pressure on the Trump administration. And as a pastor, I'm proud that the religious community of Jews, Muslims, Sikhs, Christians, and others are telling the Trump administration that their action is illegal, it's immoral, it's unjust, and it's not fair. Now back to the Attorney General.
Many of the criticisms raised in recent days are not fair, not logical, and some are contrary to plain law.
I'd like to show that it is actually the Trump administration's policy that is not just, that is not fair, and is contrary to not only the law, but to common sense in the United States. And here's the Attorney General again.
First, illegal entry into the United States is a crime. It should be, it must be, if you're going to have a legal system and have any limits whatsoever. Persons who violate the law of our nation are subject to prosecution. If you violate the law, you subject yourself to prosecution.
Attorney General Sessions' argument hinges on the idea that you're subject to prosecution, which is why on April 11th, he wrote a memo changing the policy of prosecution. He wrote about his memo on the Department of Justice website 5 days before he signed it. Writing, the situation on the southern border is unacceptable. Congress has failed to pass effective legislation that serves the national interest, that closes dangerous loopholes, and funds a wall along our southern border. As a result, a crisis has erupted on the southern border that necessitates an escalated effort to prosecute those who illegally cross our borders. It was not the law itself, but your determination that prosecutions should change, Mr. Attorney General, that caused this crisis, as you put it, that necessitates an escalated effort to prosecute. That's what caused this crisis. And importantly, these families are overwhelmingly not illegal immigrants. They are asylum seekers. They are from Nicaragua, Guatemala, El Salvador, and other places where their lives are in jeopardy. The Trump administration, for the first time in the history of our country, has chosen to declare asylum seekers as illegal immigrants. And they're not receiving due process of law. Both asylum seekers and illegal immigrants in our country are entitled to the presumption of innocence and a trial. Your orders violate that commitment and allow arresting officials to become both judge and jury. And a three-year-old is not culpable of a crime. And then Attorney General Sessions seeks to justify this illegal activity on religious grounds. And here's where it gets really dangerous. For the top law enforcement officer in our country to use the Bible as the justification for legal action is anti-American and scary on its face. And as it turns out, he even gets the Bible wrong. Here's what he says.
I would cite you to the Apostle Paul and his clear and wise command in Romans 13 to obey the laws of the government because God has ordained the government for his purposes.
Yes, there's clear and wise counsel in the book of Romans, but obey the law of the government because God has ordained the government for his purposes, that's simply not in there. The closest thing from Romans 13 might be this opening paragraph. This might be what he's referring to, where it reads, "Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there's no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, whoever rebels against the authorities is rebelling against God and whatever God has instituted. And those who do so will bring judgment on themselves." Now, there's a lot in there, but what's not in there is the line, obey the laws of the government because God has ordained the government for his purposes. Paul is talking about fighting against human authorities and the harm that will come to you as a person. He is not arguing for following the laws because somehow it hurts God. Not following the law is not resisting the authority that Paul was talking about. Paul in Romans 13 and Jeff Sessions on June 14th, they're talking about really different things. Attorney General Sessions' rephrasing is not only out of line with the actual words that are in Romans 13, but they're totally out of line with anything in the Apostle Paul's life or Jesus, for that matter. There's nothing in their lives that would have concluded that the act of the faithful should be to obey the laws of the government. Paul is not in some blanket support of all laws set out by all governments. Paul writes this very letter to the Romans and then is imprisoned by the Roman government for his righteousness. Jesus was crucified as a criminal by the Roman government. This is not what Paul is talking about, that we should obey the laws because that's the same as obeying God. And this line of thinking simply makes no sense in the United States of America. Our country is organized as a government of the people, by the people. It's not to take every law as if it came from God. So in the United States, if this were ever a law that we should separate parents from their children as punishment for being an asylum seeker, then we should change that law. Our laws are not irrefutable, everlasting truths. We wrote them. We can change them. This broad overuse by Jeff Sessions defiles the meanings of the comments by Paul. Because what laws would then not be from God? They all would in all countries, all laws. Of course, that's not what he's talking about. And here's where Attorney General Sessions' comments take an even scarier turn. He suggests that it's the very orderliness as determined by the government that makes a law right and just in its own right. Here's what he says.
Orderly and lawful processes are good in themselves. Consistent, fair application of law is in itself a good and moral thing, and that protects the weak. It protects the lawful.
What is so frightening about this line of argument is that it's the same logic that was used to forcibly return slaves to their slave owners in the 1850s. You could swap out these terms and this argument with so many of the atrocities that our laws have caused over the years in this country, that arguing that by their very existence, following them makes them right. Laws simply being right because they exist, that is not the American way. By that logic, we wouldn't change any laws. We wouldn't even have a United States of America distinct from England. We wouldn't have any social change movements. And since the Attorney General brought up the Christian religious teachings, we wouldn't have any modern-day Apostle Pauls or people following in the way of Jesus, both people who live their lives in opposition to any immoral system of power. It is right laws and just laws that protect us, not the consistent application of any prosecutorial discretion that the Attorney General decides. On a further note, since Attorney General Sessions picked Romans 13, when one reads a bit further, there's other clear and wise counsel that he might find interesting in there. Like this section, where you should pay your taxes. It reads, you should pay taxes for the same reason, because the authorities are God's assistants. So pay everyone what you owe them, pay the taxes you owe. Is Attorney General Sessions going to follow up with all of us on tax day and encourage us by biblical admonition to pay our taxes? It goes on then to say that love is actually our obligation to one another, not the fulfillment of the law. Don't be in debt to anyone except the obligation to love each other. Whoever loves another person has fulfilled the law. The commandments: do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not desire what others have, or any of these other comments. They're all summed up in one word. You must love your neighbor as yourself. And then it finishes with this great line. Love doesn't do anything wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is what fulfills the law. So, Attorney General Sessions, if you need some help figuring out who your neighbor is, you can pick that up at a lesson in most churches. And if your church doesn't teach that lesson, that your neighbor includes these people seeking asylum from their countries, then come on over to Solomon's Porch some Sunday and we'll help you learn that one.
So there it is, my takedown of Attorney General Jeff Sessions. We'll be back here on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota, after the break, and I'd love to hear your thoughts on it.
Flowery Hill Meats, your neighborhood full-service butcher shop that works directly with family farms. Using whole animals gives Lowry Hill Meats the benefit of preparing custom cuts and dry aging. They offer beef, lamb, goat, pork, and poultry, including whole duck, roasting hens, turkey, quail, pheasant, and Cornish hens. Their sausages are made fresh in-house weekly using 40 rotating recipes. Try their handcrafted sandwiches. They are second to none. Lowry Hill Meats is located at 1934 Hennepin Avenue in Minneapolis or online at lowryhillmeats.com.
Kevin Ross here, inviting you to our brand new store called Ambibulous. What does ambibulous mean? It means one who enjoys alcoholic beverages of all sorts. Ambibulous is a Minnesota maker's market. Unlike traditional liquor stores, we feature only craft beer.
Oh, were you talking to me there, Doug?
Just asking. Can you remind me of the call-in number?
952-946-6205.
6205. Okay, great.
Yep, there you go. All right, I'll put us back in automation.
Thank you. If you think big, as in big one-gallon Bonnie veggies and herbs from the Home Depot. Right now, a special buy at three for just $12. They start bigger, so they...
Turkey. Those kinds of comments.
I'm going to say one quick thing here, Doug. Bad Waitress is the last commercial in this break, so you're back after that one.
Well, thanks.
Yep. While supplies last, selection varies by store, U.S. only.
Did you miss spring cleaning? Then it's time to get your carpet zero-res clean for the summer. There are lots of carpet cleaning options in the Twin Cities, but only Zero Res cleans with patented powered water, so you know you get healthy, clean carpet that's safe for your family. So schedule your carpet cleaning today and get the Zero Res Summer 3-Room Special. And this month you can still get a great deal on your air duct cleaning. Call 952-ZERO-RES or visit ZeroResMN.com. Zero Res, spell it backward or forward, it spells the same.
I'm Steve Conklin.
And I'm Jake DeRoff.
We're the hosts of the Mortgage Talk Show, Sundays at 12:30.
Every week we bring you insights on home financing, discussing rates, programs, local and national news.
Whether you're buying your first home or your 100th home, we have tips and inside information to save you money and feel like a mortgage master.
Check us out for more information and email us any questions at mortgagetalkshow.com.
Tune in to the Mortgage Talk Show every Sunday at 12:30 on AM 950.
As with their Eat Street sister on Nicollet Avenue, the Bad Waitress at 700 Central and Northeast is committed to working with local purveyors and serving organic food whenever possible. But the Northeast location is a bit more grown up. This finer diner has a full bar serving craft cocktails and a brand new inventive dinner menu, including the chicken and waffle with roasted half chicken, bourbon pickled jalapeno corn waffle, and a roasted poblano gravy. Check out the Northeast menu at thebadwaitress.com.
Hey, welcome back. AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Doug Badger sitting in here for 5 o'clock today. I like to call it drive time. And hey, I'll tell you, Brett, that little ad there for the Bad Waitress, that actually sounded great on a day like today. I find myself sort of, you know, hankering for a tasty lunch or dinner in light of all the things that are going on in our world.
Yeah, be a nice distraction from, and that was a great response you had, by the way, the takedown of Jeff Sessions. Couldn't agree more with that, especially when he uses religion to justify that stuff.
Yeah, thanks. I appreciate that. I'll tell you, you know, as a religiously minded leader in this country, that religion has had its fingers on an awful lot of bad practices and policies and actions over the course of the history of this country. It's done some good things. There's no doubt about that. Religion has made its contribution in positive ways in people's lives and in our society. But it also has its fingerprints all over a lot of bad thinking and a lot of bad policy. And there's no doubt that the Trump administration is the most religiously fixated and religiously driven administration in a very long time. Now, not in a positive sense, in my view, not in a way that is good for humanity, not in a way that's good for the government or good for religion. There's a reason there's a separation of church and state. It's good for both. It's a lot of people like to say it's like mixing milk and orange juice. Both of them end up tasting wrong when you mix them together in the wrong way. But the Trump administration has decided to side itself with a subset of a religious expression in the United States that a lot of people are not aware of and didn't know anything about. They don't know that Sarah Huckabee Sanders is the daughter of a famous politician and preacher. They don't know that the move to have the United States establish its embassy in Jerusalem is all a part of a religious narrative for the fulfillment of an end times way of thinking. They didn't know that Mike Pompeo, the now Secretary of State, is religiously motivated. He is someone who is personally, and he's not ashamed of this, he'll say it, is deeply influenced in political affairs by the Left Behind series. There's an entire group of people, and Jeff Sessions and his religious understanding, his religious perspective that then drives his politics, is rooted in a kind of religion that's really a problem. This is why for the religious communities in this country to remain silent, and I know there's a lot of pressure on many of them to say, look, I want to deal with matters of faith. We want to deal with matters of the heart. I want to deal with matters of individual lives and how individuals can influence society. That has been a fine tack for people in religion to take. But that's not what the Trump administration is doing. And because the Trump administration is deciding to utilize religious narratives to fuel their activity, not only to give payback to the Trump supporters, but to fuel the actual policies including the idea of building a wall. I don't know if you heard Jeff Sessions make the argument that in the Bible, and he quotes a book called Nehemiah, it's in the Old Testament, or what the Jews call the Jewish Bible, Jewish scriptures. He quotes the book of Nehemiah because in the book of Nehemiah, that prophet decided that there should be a wall built around Jerusalem, the Jerusalem wall that people are sometimes familiar with if you travel to the Middle East. And he says, oh, you know, it's biblical to build a wall to keep people out because that's what came out of the book of Nehemiah. This way of thinking that you should read the Bible, translate that into your modern day policy, that has been so fringy in the life of this country. For almost 300 years, those perspectives have been around, they've been held to, people have shared them, but they've never been the actual functioning policy driving narratives of a presidential administration. It is so unbelievable. So this is why I think the religious community that has wanted to maintain its separation from politics needs to engage more directly, because the Trump administration is using religion as its justification and as its playbook for how it wants to engage around the world. So religious people have an obligation. It is in our arena, much the way that we would say it about business when we find out that business ethics are being utilized in ways that are damaging our country. We want to say to our business community, hey, it's time for you to step up. We say the same thing for all of our sectors. If your sector is being utilized by the government in a way to damage people's lives, you should speak up about it. So all the chances that religious people have had to stay out of the fray, that has expired because the Trump administration has grabbed religion and pulled it right into the center of its way of viewing the world. It's totally remarkable, and it's time for religious communities to step up. So I'll tell you, I'll just push one effort that I'm a part of that some people might want to know about. It's called VoteCommonGood.com. VoteCommonGood.com is going to be this barnstorming bus tour around the country. We're going to around 45 of the most susceptible congressional districts where we believe there's a chance to turn that from Republican control, and we're going to try to gin up the people in those places to recruit them to be part of a big wave that will come across the congressional pattern. For people moving from religious people especially, from reflexively voting Republican to saying, I want to vote the common good. So voting the common good is the alternative for all religious people. So if you know a friend, if you've got a religious friend somewhere, maybe they're Catholic, maybe they're Presbyterian, maybe they're Methodist, maybe they're Jewish, tell them that their obligations don't have to be to a political party. And many people who have reflexively voted Republican their whole lives could never imagine voting for a Democrat, but they could vote for the common good. So there's an entire effort trying to address the issue of how religion is being used in this country by recruiting religious people to see a bigger, more broad, better way of viewing this world. So there's a big thing going on, lots of things happening. I'd love to hear your calls here after the break, 952-946-6205. And tell me your perspective on this. How do you see it, both nationally and in the state of Minnesota? Because the same thing is happening. You know, Tim Pawlenty's running for governor, and we're going to have it again. We're going to have another conversation about the religion of our governor becoming his greatest calling card for being voted for. So give us a call here on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
The Twin Cities Pride Festival, the largest free pride celebration in the U.S., is coming Saturday and Sunday, June 23rd and 24th from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. in Loring Park with 400 exhibitor booths, 40 food vendors, 4 stages with music, drag shows, and more. On Sunday, June 24th at 9:30 a.m., lace up your shoes for the Rainbow Run 5K starting at Boom Island in Minneapolis. Entrance is just $30 in advance, and you will get free admission to the beer garden and a free beer if you're 21 or over. And bring your race number to the Pride Festival. Prizes available for the best dressed participants. Go to tcpride.org for details and to register. At 11 a.m., the Ashley Rooks GLBT Pride Parade begins with 150 floats and parade entries. Come out to the parade for music, dance, rainbow everything, and an all-out celebration. Celebrate our accomplishments towards LGBT equality and feel the love. So many events, so be sure to see the entire schedule at Pride 2018 at tcpride.org. That's tcpride.org.
The fine folks at Common Good Books will help you find the perfect book for you or the book lover in your life. Find a huge selection from a locally owned and independent bookseller in the Twin Cities. They are always bringing in top authors from around the globe for special in-store events. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Sundays, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Find Common Good Books at 38 South Snelling Avenue in St. Paul or shop online at commongoodbooks.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Scott Chambliot from Chambliot Family Dentistry. We're the fear-free, get-you-out-of-pain-now dental office.
And I'm Rachel Chambliot. Did you know a lot of people are afraid of the dentist? You don't need to be afraid of my dad. He makes going to the dentist comfortable and even fun.
We don't care if you're a dental regular or haven't seen a dentist in years. We just want to make you comfortable and get you out of pain.
If you don't see my dad, please see another dentist. Take care of your teeth because they're the only ones you get. Call 1-800-FIX-MY-TEETH or visit fixmyteeth.us.
Hello, humans. This is me, Ellie Krug, with Ellie 2.0 on Monday mornings at 7:30. This Monday, I'll be back to talk about someone who's made the world a better place. Yes, Ellie 2.0 is about idealism and my own practical idealism, where I share not only about real heroes, but also about my work as I go across North America, training on human inclusivity, and where I seek to make the world a better place. Please tune in. Ellie 2.0 on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Hello, Minnesota. Norman Goldman here. Join me every weekday as I help you make sense of the issues of the day with some much-needed wit. Today on the show, coming off of one of the most insane weeks yet of this era, what does this week have for us? Are there pardons about to happen? Paul Manafort's in jail. Lots to happen. Join me for 3 live hours of the Norman Goldman Show every weeknight here from 5 to 8 on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Anna Schultz-Carlson. Look for cloudy skies tonight with a low around 64. Tuesday, cloudy with a high of 74. Wednesday, sunny with a high near 81. Blue Sky Services is the home cleaning company for you. Wash windows, siding, gutters, roofs, and more. Call Blue Sky Services at 651-447-4484 to ask for the AM 950 special. Or find them at blueskyservices.com.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Doug Padgett sitting in here, drive time. Hey, Brett, what's that little jingle that plays in the background there when the weather was being read and all that? What is that little beat that's sort of an AM 950 jingle?
It's just, I believe, in our audio library. So it was put on years ago, years before I was here, but that's where I think they got it from.
Boy, it's awfully catchy.
It kind of is, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. Can you cue that up and play that again here in a minute? I just sort of, or is it only available with someone's talking over?
I'd have to do a little more research to actually find the music bed without the voice.
Let's see. That's that'd be fun. There'd be times, you know, doing the show where you'd like to have that little jingle in the background. Sometimes you'd like to have, you know, the haunting, you know, Jaws-like sounds. But other times, hey, and I don't know if everybody listens to the commercials all the time. I know sometimes when commercials come on, but that fixmyteeth.us. I mean, that's interesting. I tuned in when I heard the person say, are you afraid of the dentist? I am terribly afraid of the dentist. I don't know what it is. I can't explain it. You know, people will say this kind of thing to somebody a lot when they'll, like I say, you know, I just have certain fears in life. Like I have the fear of mercury in fish, and I don't like going to the dentist. And somebody will say, well, what are you afraid of when you go to the dentist? As if like I have some well-grounded rationale for my fear. I have no idea. I don't like the dentist, and the whole thing just feels, I don't know, like terrifying to me. I don't know if it's a lack of control. Some people have suggested that, or I've got some sort of, you know, I don't know, unmet trauma in my life from ever being at the dentist. I think I've been afraid of the dentist my whole life. So when I heard that little fixmyteeth.us, I thought, I don't know. I mean, I'm still not going to go, but it's just nice to know that there's other people that are equally afraid of the dentist. And you know, some people are afraid to call in on the radio show too. 952-946-6205. I can guarantee you, if you call in and you've got a comment, 952-946-6205, it's going to be better than going to the dentist. There's no doubt about that. So I'd love to talk with people about their take on this. I wanted to talk about some local politics. We're going to do that earlier or later on in this week. I have a couple of guests in, but boy, I feel like this crisis with the government of the United States so brazenly saying, we don't care about taking parents from their children and children from their parents if it accomplishes our goals, is something that feels so far from the way that the people of this country like to view ourselves on important and international issues like this. This just feels like something, I brought this up last week, that it's what it feels like we're in the crisis of not having enough air in this country, that the human body is the metaphor, that you can live for days without food, you can live for weeks without water or days without water. You can only live for minutes without air. And it feels like what the Trump administration is doing across the board on so many issues, from all the fake news and all the lying and the going after the judicial system, all of this, it is choking off something, the throat of this country. It's choking the esophagus. We just, like, we're not able to breathe. So all the other issues that are important, the issues that would be akin to water, like policy, or the issues of what political parties are going to look like, the way food would be, those are really important topics. But as the American Lung Association likes to put it, if you can't breathe, nothing else matters. And the Trump administration is just choking off the breath. And I'm just so convinced we have to get rid of this president. And I think we should do it in, you know, electorally would be our best way. If impeachment is what's required, then we do it by impeachment. Maybe he would come to his senses and just resign. But we have to get rid of this president. And we have to correct the damage that this presidency has done, because it's just choking off the lifeblood of this country. It's really something. So I'd love to know what other people think about that, how we should respond, what their sense is that can be done. Because a lot of us have been, like, we've been trained up in our politics around partisanship. So you're an independent, or you're a Bernie-crat, or you're a Democrat, or you're a Republican, or whatever you are. Those have kind of become our categories of how we think about the world. And then you think about some particular policies that you like, and people often ask politicians what their policies like. It's not until Donald Trump that we realized, oh, there's an entire way of being political that can be outside the norm. And a lot of people say they like this, this is what they support and all that, but it is so damaging to this country, if you care about politics. So for outside of just the normal arguments about which party should be in control and which policies we should be advocating for, really important issues. They're important as food and water. But if you can't breathe, nothing else matters. And this Trump administration is choking off the ability for this country to breathe. So I'd love to hear people's thoughts on that. 952-946-6205. Later in the week, I'm going to be hosting a couple of different hours, and we're going to talk a little bit about some of the local policies, local politics, what we need to do here locally. There's some big races happening. I think they all matter on the national level, because the degree to which Republicans continuing to support the Trump administration is something that really does have to be addressed. We have to address the fact that, like, in the most current polling that has come out, nearly 60% of Republicans approve of separating families at the border. Nearly 60% of self-described Republicans. Only 33% of them say that they disapprove of it. That's unbelievable. Of independents, there's nearly 70% disapprove of it. Of Democrats, 92% disapprove of it. Overall, that, you know, stretches out to about 60%, with an overall approval rating of about 34. But this idea that nearly 60% of self-described Republicans would say that they approve of separating families at the border, think that's a good policy. That kind of makes some sense. Not only means that this Trump cult has gotten through to these people, but that people are predisposed to thinking, well, I don't know, that's not such a bad thing. I hear that argument. I heard somebody make that argument to me the other day. They said, well, look, if someone's a criminal and they get arrested and they get sent to jail, they don't get to go with their kids. Well, two things. One, actually, they do get to visit their kids in jail. If you've ever been to a jail, you know, you do get to visit your children. But number two is, these people haven't been convicted of a crime yet. They've just been held. And when you're punishing someone with the level of with separation before they're even convicted, that's a whole other thing. And what you're charged with if you come into the country without a proper visa is a misdemeanor. The punishment that we're giving to these families, to the adults and subsequently to their children, is so disproportionate to what we would even call the level of the crime. If you were a parent of a child and you were convicted of a misdemeanor, it's quite likely that the judge would say, well, hey, we're not going to throw you in jail and take you away from your children for a misdemeanor. I mean, it is wrong at every possible level. And how it is that so many of the Republicans would say to themselves, no, that seems like reasonable law and order. It's not even reasonable law and order. This is the part that is so maddening to so many of us about this, is that it doesn't fit any particular level. Gary, I know you've been thinking a lot about this. You're in Minneapolis. You're a regular caller here, and I know you've been putting some of your own energy into this. How do you see this issue? What do you think's going on?
Hey, Gary, I think you're on right now.
Hey, Gary. Yeah, one of the right wingers. Am I on the air?
You're on the air.
I'm on. Yeah, if these were white babies being separated, any of them white babies, all these white wingers are still there. You know, during slavery, it was all about the almighty dollar to take the babies away from the mothers.
That's an interesting point, Gary. If you, I think you're tapping into the cultural bias that there is against people from Honduras, Nicaragua, Guatemala, and other places that are seeking asylum and coming to the border of the United States, that this policy is, well, these are not the kinds of people that we would recognize. If a family, I think what you're suggesting, from Canada were to come, we might not think that separating them is immediately the thing you could do. Could you imagine if there was a car trying to come in from our border here in Minnesota and Canada and had a family in it, and they crossed the border without proper documentation? Do you think we would separate those families and put them into detention centers? No, no, they're doing this for a whole other set of reasons, and I really think you might be onto something. Mark from Fridley, how do you see this? Hey, Mark.
Hey, Mark.
Doug, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Hey, Mark. How are you thinking about this issue?
Well, I'm looking at it the same way that I've looked at everything through my entire life and what I told my kids. You look at it, what went right, what went wrong, what can we do different? And what we need to do is understand who is the power that is running the country. And we can vote for this guy or that woman or this woman, this way, that way, and constantly end up with the same thing. But for the people that are politicizing this political wedge issue football right now, without looking at the bigger picture to have an understanding. And maybe one day you and I can talk about the Book of Enoch if we really want people to understand what's going on. And you know, these rapture-ready politicians that somehow passed through the confirmation process. But I know what never works, doing nothing. I also know that doing the same thing over and over again doesn't work. And if we don't look at what's happening on the border and correlate that to our foreign policy, specifically in Honduras, and again, you're familiar with The Nation magazine?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so progressive, Democrat, liberal, right? Okay, the average person can right now go to their favorite search engine and Google Hillary, Honduras, and The Nation magazine, and find out that the reason why these people are sacrificing their lives and their safety and their families is to get out of the hellhole that we and the CIA and American corporations and banking institutions turn their country into by overthrowing another democratically elected president. And so unless you look at the genesis of the problem, what is creating the problem? What's happening at the border is a symptom. We need to address the disease. If we're not as critical as the policy of our ally Israel murdering families on Gaza, or we're not looking at the fact that Saudi Arabia and the United States last week blew up a brand new hospital in Yemen for the prevention of cholera in that country. Why are we not talking about these things and focusing with our blinders on the one specific issue that's going to drive people apart instead of bring people together. So we need to focus on the big picture.
Yeah, Mark, thank you. I think that's super helpful for people. We're going to go into a hard break here in a second, but I think that's really helpful for people to understand why, if the people coming to the borders, moms, dads with babies and children, if they're coming seeking asylum, not just looking for work, they're not just coming to be regular immigrants and overstaying visas, they're seeking asylum. Why are they seeking asylum? What's happening in their countries? And this is where if the United States cares, we start to look, and as you're bringing up, we'll talk about this after the break, our fingerprints from the United States are all over that. The United States' view of Central American, South American countries has been to destabilize them in a place where they become lawless places, and that's some place that the United States could do some work. So we'll talk about this more after the break here on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
This is Pat with PJW Automotive. AM 950 listeners know I've been a big supporter of the station. I'm also a job creator. I've assembled a team of the highest quality technicians to ensure our reputation continues to grow. After all, a job creator is simply someone who responds to customer demand. That demand has remained strong at PJW because we deliver quality the first time around. See why it's worth the drive to PJW Automotive. One exit north of 694 on 35W and online at pjwauto.com.
Burger Mo's gorgeous patio is open for the season. Enjoy nightly happy hours, more than 60 beers on tap, and the weather while you watch your favorite game on the outdoor screen. And don't miss live music Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays. Offering 20 fresh, never frozen burger varieties, Burger Mo's also offers delicious appetizers, soups, salads, as well as unburgers, dogs, paninis, shakes, and desserts. Burger Mo's is located at 242 West 7th Street in St. Paul with plenty of free parking and online at burgermo's.com.
Would you or your organization like to become better storytellers? The Uptake can help. Learn from the best teachers in Minnesota when it comes to writing, photography, audio documentary, or live video streaming. I'm personally teaching the live video classes. We're offering classes on Saturdays in June. There's a charge, but there's a discount for students and low-income people. Space is limited, so register now at theuptake.org/classes. That's theuptake.org/classes and learn to storytell like a pro.
Hi, Gregory Rich, owner of Habitation Furnishing and Design and host of Drink in the Style Sundays at 5 p.m. right here on AM 950. Habitation is Minneapolis' coolest furniture design studio. Our in-house design staff specializes in creating spaces that reflect your style, your values, and your taste. From edgy modern to transitional, Habitation is here to help you craft your home. You know what's also exciting? Habitation offers AM 950 listeners complimentary interior design services, which include an appraisal of any furniture pieces you may want to trade in for store credit. That's right. Habitation will take your gently used furniture and issue you store credit on fresh, fantastic furniture. Check out Habitation today, 4317 Excelsior Boulevard in St. Louis Park, 1 mile east of Highway 100, or visit us online at habitationdesign.com.
Guess who called me the other day? You did. Hi, Mark Sommerfeld of Computer Revolution in Roseville. I want to thank AM 950 listeners who called to thank us for supporting the station. So here's an offer exclusive to 950 listeners. Bring your broken computer or cell phone to our Roseville store, say I'm an AM 950 listener, and you'll receive $20 off any repair. Computer Revolution with cell phone repair, located in Roseville at Highway 36 and Fairview Avenue, or call 651-633-6600. And thanks.
Hey, welcome back. AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Drive time, 4 to 5 o'clock. If you're trying to drive around the cities, should have started a while ago, wherever you're going. Hey, we're having a conversation about what's happening on the border and the Trump administration policy. It's influenced by a lot of factors, including some really bad religion. And it's also responding to a set of conditions that the United States has been creating this, as Mark from Fridley brought up, this disruption that our country, the CIA, and our foreign policy has caused in a number of Central American countries. Tom Karki on the Facebook page has been saying, hey, what can we do to help these kids? And he's posted something there. So if you go to the Facebook page, you can see some suggestions. But this is a really good question. What can we do to be helpful to these kids? what could happen. Now, I know there's some nonprofit organizations working on the southern border of Texas that are trying to interface and protest and raise awareness and be able to support kids if they are set out of detention. But one of the greatest things we could do is to help the situation in these countries. Now, this is a little bit upstream, right? When you see, I have a friend that says, you know, if you're standing on a riverside and the river's flowing down and you start seeing people floating down the river that have been thrown in the river, you should help them get out of the river. There's no doubt about it. But at some point, you might want to ask yourself, why are they falling in the river upstream? This is what Mark was raising. What's happening in these countries? I've been involved in Guatemala for a lot of years, starting work in Guatemala in the late 1980s. When the civil war in Guatemala and the United States participation in overthrowing governments there was hot and heavy, and working with indigenous peoples there, a lot of these kids who are taken in and put into these gangs and smart parents are saying, I've got to get my child out of here for them to be safe. So I can speak about Guatemala, and I know it might seem like that's not a lot, but if you could help out in Guatemala, if you could help out in Honduras, if you could help out in El Salvador, that work goes an awfully long way to create the environment that makes it safer for families and for kids to stay there. You might think that all these families just simply want to come to the United States. Well, some do because they're immigrants. But if you think that you are seeking asylum, you are on the run because you're terrified. We could stop the terror in those countries. So any organization that does good work in Central American countries is another way that you could be involved. Now, here's a really practical one. I do some work in an orphanage in Guatemala with young kids who are sort of set aside because their parents or they have been diagnosed with HIV and AIDS. This is among the most vulnerable peoples that you can imagine in the world. And we have a little fundraiser happening this Thursday. It's something called that we call the walk, roll, and run on the longest day of the year. People contribute $25 to sponsor an hour, and somebody else will walk, roll, or run all day long from sunrise to sunset on June 21st, the longest day of the year. That's coming up this Thursday. So if that's something you're saying, like, I don't know, I want to help out some way, you can help some kids in Guatemala in an orphanage. I know that for sure. Every dollar you donate of your $25 or $50 or $10,000, every dollar of that goes to those kids. So you can go to longestday.us. You'll see the information on it. If you want to be walking around Lake Harriet, Lake of the Isles, Bada Makaska, formerly Lake Calhoun. If you want to walk around one of those lakes, roll around one of those lakes, run around one of those lakes, you can find a place to sign up there and also a place to make a donation. So if that's interesting to you, I'd suggest that you do it. And if it's not this project, find someone else who's doing some kind of good work in the world. Because if we don't engage in stopping the situations that are causing people to be in such fearful set of conditions that even risking being broken up and split up as a family, even risking all of the pain and all of the horror that could come from having to move across a continent and enter into another country where you have very limited support, if your situation is that bad. Now, what the Trump administration has been saying is, hey, these people are trying to get a free ride. Like, they're trying to cut in line. They're trying to get into the United States where I was born, and they don't have any right to be here. And so what we need to do is just send the message to them that they're not welcome here, and then they won't come. When your situation back at home, if you're a mom, is that your son's going to be pulled into a gang or you're going to be harmed or someone's going to be violated, you're willing to take that risk. Like, that's the thing that's so bizarre about this. These are families that are already under stress. And the Trump administration's imagination, and this is what makes me sick, fueled by a religious narrative that says, you know what's better is to take people that are saying that they're in trauma, saying that they're refugees, saying that they need asylum, call them all liars and punish them for even asking. That's why people are in such outrage. It's not that people are saying we shouldn't have a border, but curiously, we don't have a border on the 5,000 miles that separate the United States from Canada. And the reason is not because the United States isn't great in its border states with Canada. Minnesota is the greatest of them all. It's because people living in Canada feel safe and happy staying in Canada. The issue is not how good is the United States and how big of a wall can we create. but can we create a situation where people don't feel like even the level of torment that it would mean to transition across a continent and or across a country and try to enter into another country, that's worth the effort? That's the thing that's so bizarre about this. So when you're talking to friends, when you're writing things on Facebook, when you're shooting up photos on Instagram, remind people that it's so difficult for these families with almost no money, having to move from Guatemala across Mexico to the border to try to get in. The only way you're going to make the United States not worth that journey is to make things better in Guatemala. If you took the $50 billion that we want to spend to build a wall and you invested that money plus others in these countries, that's where we would see a significant stemming of the flow. I know Guatemalans. They don't all want to come to the United States. It's not like everybody in the world is just banging to get in here. People recognize that sometimes where they live is where they want to live. And if you are willing to risk all of that to get here, something's going wrong on the other end. Now, sure, there are people that want to immigrate to the United States, and I guess we should have some immigration limitations. Not entirely sure about that, frankly. We talk about that on another day. I think the huge part of our problem is that we've set up these false quotas on how many people we will let in. If you want to solve the illegal immigration problem, which is separate from this people seeking asylum problem, but the illegal immigration problem, just raise the quotas on how many people you'll allow in. Like you could solve illegal immigration in 2 years by raising the quota, processing everyone who wants in that doesn't have some reason to be kept out, and not have this false lottery limit on how many people we let in. And some people say, well, the country can't handle that many people. How do we know? We don't have time to get into this in the last minute just before 5 o'clock here on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota Drive Time. But there is no proof at all that the number of people who want in could not be assimilated into this country, especially in legal ways, and to build the quality of this country. The limits that we're putting on the number of people who are allowed to the country is what creates the immigration crisis. I mean, everyone knows that that's where the bottleneck is coming from. It takes years in line to be approved. So if you want to stop some of these things, you can work in the countries where they're coming from and work on our own quotas of limitation, and maybe we'd start to see some change. And that requires less money than building a wall, as if our only question is, how much is it going to cost us? AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. If you want to do something great, longestday.us. I'm involved in votecommongood.com, and you can stay connected. I'll be back on Wednesday on AM 950. Press voice.